So today is 44. Translation, there's no purpose, so we'll go on to the next one. After this. Oh my God, man. This is a long purpose. This is a 6-page purport. So I think we'll do some of it, and we'll do some tomorrow. The Lord's beautiful face appeared to them like the inside of a blue lotus, and the Lord's smile appeared to be a blossoming jasmine flower. After seeing the face of the Lord, the sages were fully satisfied, and when they wanted to see him further, they looked upon the nails of his lotus feet, which resembled rubies. Thus they viewed the Lord's transcendental body again and again. And so they finally achieved meditation on the Lord's personal feature. Text 45. This is the form of the Lord which is meditated upon by the followers of the yoga process, and it is pleasing to the yogis in meditation. It is not imaginary, but factual, as proved by great yogis. The Lord is full in 8 kinds of achievement, but for others, these achievements are not possible in full perfection. The success of the yoga process is very nicely described here. It is specifically mentioned that the form of the Lord as four-headed Narayan is the object of meditation for the followers of Yoga Marg. In the modern age, there are so many so-called yogis who do not target their meditation on the four-headed Narayan form. Some of them try to meditate on something impersonal or void, but that is not approved by the great yogis who follow the standard method. The real yoga marg process is to control the senses, sit in a solitary and sanctified place, and meditate on the four-headed form of Narayan, decorated as described in this chapter, as he appeared before the four sages. This Narayan form is Krishna's expansion. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement, which is now spreading, is the real topmost process of yoga practice. Krishna consciousness is the highest yoga performance by trained devotees. Despite all the allurements of yoga practice, the 8 kinds of yogic perfections are hardly achieved by the common man. But here it is described that the Lord who appeared before the four sages is himself full in all 8 of those perfections. The highest yoga marg process is to concentrate the mind 24 hours a day on Krishna. This is called Krishna consciousness. The yoga system, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, or as recommended in the Patanjali yoga process, is different from the nowadays practice Hatha yoga, as it is generally understood in the Western countries. Real yoga practice is to control the senses. And after such control is established, to concentrate the mind on the Narayan form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Lord Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, and all the other Vishnu forms, with 4 hands decorated with conch, lotus, club, and wheel, are plenary expansions of Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, it is recommended that one meditate upon the form of the Lord. To practice concentration of the mind, one has to sit with the head and the back in a straight line, and one must practice in a secluded place, sanctified, a sacred atmosphere. The yogi should observe the rules and regulations of brahmacharya to strictly live a life of self-restraint and celibacy. One cannot practice yoga in a congested city, living a life of extravagancy, including unrestricted sex indulgence and adultery of the tongue. Yoga practice necessitates controlling the senses, and the beginning of sense control is to control the tongue. One who can control the tongue can also have control over the other senses. One cannot allow the tongue to take all kinds of forbidden food and drink, and at the same time advance in the practice of yoga. It is very regrettable that many unauthorized so-called yogis come to the Western countries and exploit people's inclination towards yoga practice. Such unauthorized yogis even dare to say publicly that one can indulge in the habit of drinking and at the same time practice meditation. Such rascals. 5,000 years ago, Lord Krishna recommended yoga practice to Arjuna, but Arjuna frankly expressed his inability to follow the stringent rules and regulations of the yoga system. One should be very practical in every field of activities and should not waste his valuable time in practicing useless gymnastic feats in the name of yoga. Real yoga is to search out the four-handed super soul within one's heart and see him perpetually in meditation. Such continued meditation is called samadhi, and the object of this meditation is the four-handed Narayan with bodily decorations as described in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. If, however, one wants to meditate upon something void or impersonal, it will take a very long time before he achieves success in yoga practice. We cannot concentrate our mind on something void or impersonal. Real yoga is to fix the mind on the form of the Lord, the four-handed Narayan, who is sitting in everyone's heart. By meditation, one can understand that God is seated within one's heart. Even if one does not know it, God is seated within the heart of everyone. Not only is he seated in the heart of the human being, but he is also within the heart of the cats and dogs. Bhagavad Gita certifies this fact by the declaration of the Lord, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hridayeshu. The Ishvara, the supreme controller of the world, is seated in the heart of everyone. Not only is he in everyone's heart, but he is also present within the atom. No place is vacant or devoid of the presence of the Lord. That is the statement of the Isopanishad. God is present everywhere, and his right of proprietorship applies to everything. The feature of the Lord by which he is present everywhere is called Paramatma. Atma means the individual soul, and Paramatma means the individual super soul. Both Atma and Paramatma are individual persons. The difference between Atma and Paramatma is that the Atma, or the soul, is present only in a particular body, whereas the Paramatma is present everywhere. In this connection, the example of the sun is very nice. An individual person may be situated in one place, but the sun, even though a similar individual entity is present on the head of every individual person. In Bhagavad Gita, this is explained. Therefore, even though the qualities of all entities, including the Lord, are equal, the super soul is different from the individual soul by quantitative power of expansion. The Lord, or the super soul, can expand himself into millions of different forms, whereas the individual soul cannot do so. Om Gyanam Tamarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshum Militam Dina Tasmay Sri Gurave Nama Mukham Krutva Chalam Pangun Nam Hayate Grim Yakripataraham Mande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Manchakapatubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Bhavani Vaisnava Yonamo Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So, this philosophy that we have is very radical, because in this material world, everybody is thinking that they're their senses, that they're their body, and that they're their senses. And to satisfy the senses is the goal of life. That's the pleasure of life, to satisfy the senses. So we're saying, don't waste your time. Don't do that. Because you become more entangled in the material life. Just like there was one devotee preaching in England back in the 1930s. And there was one gentleman that was in the government, Lord Zetland. So he was very favorable, actually. He liked the devotees. And he asked this devotee, can you make me a brahmana? He said, yes, no problem. You just have to follow these four regular principles. No gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex. And his reply was, impossible. They can't imagine. And there was one famous writer in America. And his name is slipping my mind now. He was diagnosed with a disease that the doctor told him that if you have sex anymore, you'll die. Ernest Hemingway. No, was it? No, not Ernest. I can't remember. I think it was Ernest Hemingway. So he committed suicide that night. Can't have sex. What is the use of living? Kill themselves. The people can't imagine. Yeah. So, people are very much in the bodily conception of life. It's a major problem. It's a disease. It's an epidemic. Everybody is bewildered by the bodily conception of life. So it's an emergency. We have to let everybody know you're not that body. You're the eternal servant of Krishna. Then you'll be happy. So at the rate that everybody's going now, they're engaging in so much sinful activity, so much material activity, that when they leave their body, their destiny is very dark. Most people think nowadays, you know, you die, you know, that's it. It's all over. Or some people think, oh, even though I'm so sinful, I'll go to heaven anyway because I believe in one person. Just believe. You do all kinds of sinful activities, but if you just believe in Jesus, then you go to heaven. No, it doesn't work that way. So they don't know that they're in for a surprise. So we have to let people know. It's an emergency. It's like whenever there's a big natural disaster, they had that tsunami in Malaysia and elsewhere. I think it hit India, parts of India and Malaysia. And it was a big disaster. So it was an emergency. So many doctors flew from so many countries around the world to try to help. So many volunteers, they flew. into these areas to try to help. It's nice of them, right? Mode of goodness, they want to help. It's an emergency. So it's a much bigger emergency now because people have forgotten who they are. They don't know what is the goal of life. They don't know the intense amount of suffering that they're going to experience in the hellish planets due to all their sinful activities. So we have to let them know. It's an emergency. So the best way that we can let them know is by giving these books out to the people. Just like we didn't know. Even though you're from India, were you aware of the Yamadutas? Yeah? Or no? Yeah? Yes? No?
Yes?
Was it? But a lot of people, even in India, they think it's just mythology. Isn't it? Did it also think like that? It was a mythology? It's just stories. They think like that. Hindu mythology. Ram and Hanuman. I think it's all mythology. Even Christian, I think. Of course, not everyone, but a lot of them think this. So, it's not mythology. Srila Prabhupada says, in one purport, that the idea that one can achieve happiness in this material world is a myth. This is real mythology. That one thinks that he'll achieve ultimate happiness through sense gratification. Hladatapakari. To the contrary of that, there's a statement, hladatapakari, which means that whatever one tries to enjoy in this material world, that very thing that one tries to enjoy becomes the cause of suffering. And we see that so much in the material world. Try to enjoy something and it comes back to you. Karma. So, but we can purify our senses. We have pure senses, just like we have a pure soul. It's covered now. So we also have pure senses. We have a pure mind. But now it's all covered. So the goal is to uncover. Sarvapadi vanir muktam tat parvainir rishikena rishikesa sevanam bhakti ushite. That devotional service means to engage our senses in the service of the master of the senses, Krishna. And there's two side effects of this when we engage our senses in pleasing the senses of Krishna. One is that our senses become purified. Purified senses means that we only want to hear things in relation to Krishna. We don't want to hear the news. I was listening to a lecture recently. Prabhupada said, devotees, we don't listen to the news. We don't watch them. We don't read the newspapers. Why? It's all bad news. It's all bad news. There's no good news. And nobody walks away from the watching the news or reading the newspaper feeling inspired and enlightened. Nobody. It's depressing. So we don't watch the news, we don't read newspapers. This is the real news. This is the good news. This is the good morning news. Krishna is God. And if we want to be happy, we have to control our senses. We have to engage our senses in the service of Krishna. We hear about Krishna. We speak about Krishna. We honor Krishna prasadam. And one purport Prabhupada says that if we eat anything which is offered or which is made by the non-devotees, our heart becomes wicked. Interesting statement. If we eat anything which is made by the non-devotees, our heart becomes wicked. Why? Because the person's consciousness goes into the food. Just like when we're cooking for the deities, or we're cooking for the devotees, we're cooking it for Krishna. So It has to be that nice consciousness, right? And it goes in. The food, the consciousness is very important. And therefore, in order to cook for the Lord, one has to be a brahmana, right? Otherwise, can't do it. So we're actually cooking for Krishna, right? For His pleasure. Now, sometimes people say, "Well, I mean, don't you think God's doing all right already? Do we have to do so much for Him?" You know? But actually, Krishna, He's Atmaram. He's self-satisfied. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't even need the gopis. He doesn't need any. He's Atmaram, completely satisfied. But for our benefit, we do service for Krishna. We cook for Krishna. We speak the glories of Krishna for our benefit. He doesn't need to hear His glories. He doesn't have a false ego. But it's for our benefit. We get purified when we hear about Krishna, we speak about Krishna, we honor prasad has been offered to Krishna. There's one king that engaged all his senses in the service of Krishna. All the different processes he perfected also. Who knows his name? Ambarish, yeah. We can't imagine how great a personality he must have been. Yeah. All the different processes, just like there's these nine processes, and there's certain devotees that perfected each of them. Shravanam, hearing was perfected by Parikshit Maharaj, chanting by Sukadeva Goswami. So that all these were perfected by certain personalities, but Ambarish Maharaj, he perfected all of them, and he was a king. Kings mean they manage. He must have been a really good manager too. Inconceivable. And there's Durvasa Muni. He was not a devotee, very powerful yogi, so he wanted to, I think it's even mentioned there was some envy there. He wanted to test Ambarish, so he went there with all his disciples. How many disciples? Huh? Wasn't it 60,000? I think it was 60,000. Am I right? How many? Anyway, there's a lot. In the thousands, there's a lot. So he went there, and Ambarish, he was doing a fast. So Durvasa and all the disciples, they went and they bathed, and they were going to, the idea was they're going to come back and honor prasad. But the particular time for honoring or for breaking the fast had reached, and if he didn't break the fast at that particular time, he wouldn't receive the benefit, the merit for performing the yajna. So he asked the brahmanas there. Of course, he didn't have to ask. He's more than a brahman; he's a devotee. But proper protocol, he asked the brahman, "What should I do?" And actually, what it's interesting, the Bhagavatam, it said they didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to do. It was like an unusual circumstance. But he knew what to do. It's mentioned he knew what to do. Just taking water means you break the fast, but you don't break the fast. So he took some water. But Durvasa Muni, he was a yogi, so we could understand that he had taken water. He considered that breaking the fast. And he was a little proud. This is what happens. You get these mystic abilities. It's very common that they become proud of this. So he had this, and he took offense. And he took a hair from his head. Huge demon. And all the brahmanas went running in fear because he was a pretty scary demon. But Ambarish Maharaj didn't flinch. Didn't flinch at all. Just continued meditating on Krishna. He's always meditating on Krishna. So Krishna protected him, right? So this is the one of the results of surrender to Krishna, that you always are protected by Krishna. So what happened? The Sudarshan Chakra came to kill this demon that had come to kill Ambarish. So I'm not, does anybody, I haven't read it, did he kill him or did he, I forgot. Anyway, he was protected. I think he was killed by the Sudarshan Chakra. The demon, yeah. So then what had happened? Then he started chasing Durvasa Muni. Yeah. So the Sudarshan Chakra is a very powerful weapon. And it's a personality. So if you offend, if we offend devotees, sometimes the Sudarshan Chakra will come. In this case, the Sudarshan Chakra came. It was a very a dangerous situation. So now he's chasing Durvasa Muni. For how long? 1 year. Now I think he was just kind of playing with Durvasa Muni, because the Sudarshan Chakra, he's, you know, he's faster than the speed of mind. So it wouldn't be a problem for him to just, you know, kill him. So I think he was just wanted to teach him a lesson. So he was, and the Sudarshan Chakra is also very hot. And so he's running from this. And he's going to Brahma, he's going to Shiva, he's going to all these demigods, please help, what are you, there's nothing we can do here, if you're sorry. The Sudarshan Chakra, we can't mess with the Sudarshan Chakra. You'll have to go to Vishnu. So somehow he was able to enter into Vaikuntha. Pretty amazing pastime. He wasn't a devotee. He was actually an offensive to devotees. But he was able to enter into Vaikuntha. I think it's part of Krishna's pastime. He allowed him. So he went to Vishnu, paid obeisance to him, and said, please, my lord, please, I committed some offense to your devotee. Now the Sudarshan Chakra is chasing me to kill me. Please protect me. Nothing I can do. You offended my devotee. And he said, Sadhavo Pradyam Mayam, Sadhavo Pradyam Toham. This is Lord Vishnu's statement. He said, the devotee is within my heart, and I am within the devotee's heart. The devotee does not know anyone but me, and I do not know anyone but my devotee. So you've offended my devotee. I can't stop the Sudarshan Chakra. There's only one thing you can do to get the Sudarshan Chakra off your back. You have to go back to Ambarish and beg for forgiveness. So of course he did that immediately. And Ambarish Maharaj, he was such a great devotee, he didn't break his fast. He also was a yogi, devotee yogi. So he could eat, or he could go without eating for a long period, just by breathing. Even in the West here, they had some breatharians. You ever heard of them? They were people in the mountain, they weren't even devotees, they weren't yogis, they were breatharians. They were able to. But some of them died, so they stopped. It was stopped. Different countries where it was allowed. So anyway, he hadn't taken prasad. So then Durvasa Muni came, paid obeisances, begged for forgiveness. And Ambarish Maharaj, he paid obeisances. He said, no, it's okay. No offense, it's okay. It's all right. So humble. Also, this is the nature of a devotee, is also very humble. So then they had prasadam together. It's amazing. A devotee is just amazing. So we want to let people know about the greatness of devotees also, not just Krishna, But the devotees, like Prabhupada also, Prabhupada, such a great devotee, so compassionate. We're all sitting here now because of Prabhupada. Now there's about 600 temples around the world. So it's very auspicious. And this is because of the greatness of Prabhupada. So we want people to hear the glories of Prabhupada, the glories of Krishna. And by this book distribution, they're able to hear what is a real saintly person. Someone who actually walks the talk. So many so-called spiritual leaders around the world, there's cheaters, doing so much nonsense behind the door. But Prabhupada was so pure, and therefore he was able to make so many other wonderful devotees by his purity. So purity is the force. The more we hear about Krishna, the more we hear about the glories of the devotees, the more we get purified. And that gives way for us to convince people to take books. Now here it's stated that Krishna is within the heart of everyone, not only within the human being, within all living entities. And there's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita in this regard that I chant sometimes like japa, because it helps me have the proper mentality. Upadrishtana mantatsa bartha bhokta maheshva paran meki chapika dehesmin purushapra. That within this body there's another transcendental enjoyer. He's the Lord. He's the supreme proprietor. He's the overseer and the permitter. So this is Krishna. He's the overseer. He can see everything. And he's the permitter. Nothing happens without the sanction of Krishna. We can try so hard to convince someone to take a book, but if Krishna doesn't sanction it, it doesn't happen. Right? Many of us have had that experience trying to convince someone. They don't take it. Krishna wants them to take a book, of course. But if we go out on Sankirtan, and everyone takes a book, then where's the austerity? Right? There's no austerity. So to get rejection is also good. When someone says no, we also say thank you, because that's also good for us. Rejection is good also. Yeah, because this helps us become humble. Generally, we don't like to hear no, right? Nobody likes to hear no. But it's actually good. Everybody said yes. Yes, I'll take a book, give a donation. Then you probably get proud. I'm such a good book distributor. Right? Pride comes very easily. Even there's the saying that the pauper is proud of his penny. So Krishna wants us to be free of pride. So this book distribution is a fast track to humility. We may have so many ideas of who we are, but when you go out on book distribution, you're nothing. Yeah. To them, you're nothing. And actually, we are very insignificant. But Krishna is very significant. So we understand our insignificant position, and we gradually also understand the very significant position of Krishna. So, any questions or comments about this? Corrections are also accepted. Yes, Guru. What's going on in the world?
As a way to,
you know, People are actually impressed when they hear that we don't watch movies, we don't watch the news, we don't read newspapers. Because a lot of people live for these things, you know. But people know it's not good. There's one instance, Prabhupada says, of one instance where one Christian preacher, he was preaching in Ireland, and he was telling them that you should serve Lord Jesus Christ. You should serve Lord Jesus Christ because, you know, he's a savior. And they worked in the mine. And they said, okay, well, what number is he? I thought everybody had a number. No, he doesn't work in the mine. He's the Lord. You should serve Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't, then you're going to go to hell. And he said, oh, okay, so what is hell like? Well, it's dark. It's damp. It's hot. That sounds like the mines. Doesn't sound too bad. And then he said, well, there's no newspapers. Oh, terrible, 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 terrible. No newspapers. They thought that was terrible. So that's, if you read the news, what happens? I've had this experience. You probably have the experience. If you read the news or if you watch movies, then the next day you're trying to chant japa, and what comes into your mind? The news. Right? Or the movie or something. You know, if you want to be Krishna conscious, then we have to really focus on Krishna. Don't be distracted. And when you tell people that you don't read the newspapers, you don't watch the news, you don't watch movies, people respect that. I was distributing books one time, and I told this to one student, that I don't watch movies. And he asked me if I knew this one very famous movie star. I said, no, I've never heard of him before. And he was completely shocked. Most famous movie star in the world. I never heard his name before. But he appreciated it. Yeah. Because everybody's heard of such a person. Only the monks. Because they live separate from society. People appreciate that there's people that are not entangled within the materialistic society. It's not going to be any harm to us to not read the newspapers or to not watch the news. So it's terrible. It's always, Prabhupada, I was just listening to a lecture. Prabhupada said, our devotees do not read the newspapers. They don't watch the news. Why? Because it's all the same stuff. This politician did that. This disaster happened over there. This crime happened over there. It's all the same stuff. It's just chewing and chewing. Same stuff, isn't it? You don't read anything different. Just the time difference. It's just the same stuff. A waste of time. Time is so valuable. But if we hear about Krishna, if we chant the names of Krishna, then we'll remember Krishna. And then we'll be happy. We'll get purified. This is the goal. And this is how to get purified. Hear about Krishna, chant the names of Krishna, serve Krishna, just focus on Krishna. And we'll go back to God. Seems inconceivable, but possible. Therefore Krishna says, Vita raga bhaya krodha man maya mama pashata bhavo jnana tapasa putumad bhava mahavita. He says this verse to encourage us. He says, being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, many, many persons have become purified by knowledge of me. And they've come to me. So he's encouraging us there. It's happened in the past. It can happen to us too. We just have to be serious. Okay? It's okay? Anything else? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai. So tomorrow is the same verse.
Okay, well, 45, I think.